AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. It's the Friday edition of the show. Really honored right now to be joined by U.S. Congressman Jesus Chuy Garcia. He is the U.S. House Representative in the 4th District in Illinois, as he's going to be joining us now to chat a little bit about the presidential campaign and some other major national political issues as well. Congressman Garcia, really appreciate you taking the time today to join me.
Oh, as a progressive, I'm delighted to be on the airwaves with other progressives in Minnesota and with you, Brett, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's only like 3 progressive stations in the entire country. You guys have one, I think, down in Chicago, WCPT.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, there are not
That's
many.
Correct.
So, yeah, we're definitely glad to be one of the few voices out there.
Well, you keep it up.
Absolutely. So a lot of issues I want to talk to you about, including family separation, how COVID has impacted disproportionately people of color, and a little bit about the presidential election. Do want to start with the election because, as I'm sure you can attest to, people need to vote this fall, even though the polls certainly do look good for Democrats, not just at the top of the ballot, but down ballot as well. So important we get there and vote and get Donald Trump out of office and get more progressives in Congress, correct?
Absolutely. I just want to share that I voted on the first day of in-person voting. My wife and I and a group of other electeds and residents of my community, I was very pleased to see that a long line was forming at the opening of the polls, and it lasted throughout the day. So it's a great, great thing. There are also very encouraging reports about people voting by mail this year in great numbers. I got a report earlier this morning that over 1 million people have voted just yesterday alone in the state of Texas. So the prospects for, flipping Texas look enhanced at this juncture. I won't say that it's going to be done, but we're certainly hoping that it will. And again, you can either vote from home by mail, or you can vote early in person, as I did yesterday. And I wanted to do it just because I liked the thrill of doing it. And of course, you can also vote on election day at a polling location near you. And of course, that's November 3rd. So this is a critical election for our country, perhaps one of the most important since the Civil War. I would up the ante on that. And I think that it's really, really critical for progressives to get out there and vote. If you voted like I did and, campaigned for Bernie Sanders, I've gotten on this campaign. I've been, stomping for Joe Biden all across the states in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa. I just got off of a couple of interviews in the state of Ohio. We've been in the Southwest as well. We want to win this election. We want to, put our country on a brand new course moving forward, be inclusive in the divisiveness and the hatred that has been spewed from the White House and through people in the administration, and really just redefine, the most important values and lasting values that our country has been a wonderful example of democracy in action. So if you haven't voted yet, please make a plan to do so. There are at least 3 ways to do it safely and conveniently for everyone out there.
And speaking of democracy in action, well, one example where we certainly don't have democracy in action are the hearings we're having right now for potential Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Now, I at least know over in the Senate, they've certainly been talking a lot about how she would likely rule on the Affordable Care Act and try to have that completely repealed. But there's another issue that has me very concerned where she could potentially rule in a direction that would not help a lot of people, and that's DACA, since that is still probably going to come through the court system. And Congressman Garcia, that issue really has me concerned should that get to the Supreme Court with the Justice Amy Coney Barrett.
Absolutely. And, we already got what I hope won't be a precursor of what the court can do in the coming years. And certainly if Amy Barrett winds up on the court, the ruling on the census and cutting short by 2 weeks the deadline. You know, today is the last day to participate in the census, is really going to affect hard to count areas in cities across the country, especially where there are low income residents, where there are people of color, Latino and Black Americans as well. And the consequences are, you know, long lasting. We're going to deal with an undercount of individuals who need the type of support that government programs provide for the next 10 years. So your sense about what will happen if Judge Barrett is approved to the Supreme Court with respect to, you know, the future of the DACA class of immigrants that are yearning for legalization and a path to citizenship. You know, as American, as you and I, and really who don't know any other country besides the U.S. and have tremendous support from the public, you know, upwards of 80%, regardless of whether people identify as Republican, Democrat, or Independent, support them. This issue will be before the Supreme Court with, you know, Judge Barrett being one of the decision makers. If her confirmation goes through, you know, the future of our policies with respect to climate change, where she clammed up and couldn't even acknowledge that climate change is a serious, serious challenge to our existence as a planet and certainly as a country, and one that emits so much, you know, carbon into the air that we need to do something, you know, dramatic to turn that situation around. So it's very unfortunate that she would not open up and talk about issues that, you know, regardless of political persuasion, people have acknowledged or are acknowledging with each passing day that it's a serious existential issue and that it needs to be addressed by us.
We're speaking with Congressman Chuy Garcia. He is the U.S. House representative in Illinois' 4th District. Now, your district is 67% Latinx, so you certainly do get a lot of people who are impacted by the immigration policies of the Trump administration. And I want to get your reaction to this New York Times investigation that was conducted a few weeks ago, where they, among other things, quoted former Attorney General Jeff Sessions as saying, "If we care about kids, don't bring them in, and we need to separate their children no matter their age." Paraphrasing there, but what I think really misses the point with this whole thing, with this whole idea that, well, if we just tell immigrants don't come to the country because we'll separate you from your children, it really misses the point about the desperate circumstances that a lot of our immigrants and asylum seekers are coming from in countries like Central America that are going through great upheaval, which in a lot of cases is our own doing for interfering in their own politics. So just want to get your reaction to that, because it seems like we have such a lack of empathy from a lot of the members of the Trump administration.
You know, Brett, speaking of empathy, when Judge Barrett was, Coney Barrett was asked about family separation, she said nothing about it. For someone who is touting, you know, her large family, her diverse family, she could not express one iota of sympathy for the disastrous and cruel policy of separating children from their parents at the border, especially people seeking political asylum who have risked their lives coming here in hopes of, you know, having an opportunity to have their case heard before a judge and letting a judge determine if there is merit for them to remain here. So the latest reporting on the Trump's on the Trump administration's family separation policy is most troubling. You know, what would Joe Biden propose? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris recognize that immigration has been a most important source of talent and labor power and intellectual power for our country, that this country has had immense contributions from immigrants, energy, ideas, and aspirations. It's a pastime to reform our broken immigration system. Of course, Trump isn't interested in solving the border crisis. He just wants to gin up its base, a wall from sea to sea. Isn't smart. It's wasteful. Ripping babies from mothers' arms isn't right. A Muslim ban is un-American. So Joe Biden is recognizing that family unification and diversity are pillars of our immigration system. From day one, he will take urgent action on ending Trump's cruel and inhumane border policies that, you know, separate children from their mothers, protect Dreamers and their families, recognizing them as the Americans that they are, and of course, reverse Trump's public charge rule, another attack against the community that has prevented people and scared people from participating in the census. And finally, Brett, I would say that he would put forth real legislative immigration reforms to Congress with a roadmap to citizenship for the nearly 11 million undocumented immigrants who already make up communities are vital to the development of the larger communities, places like Minneapolis, St. Paul, in many states across the country, and bring vitality to them because of their presence and contributions.
Final issue I want to talk with you here, Congressman Garcia. Again, we're speaking with Congressman Chuy Garcia. He is from the 4th District of Illinois in the U.S. House. And that, of course, is COVID-19, which is certainly another issue that the Trump administration has definitely botched. And COVID has really disproportionately impacted communities of color and people of color. And like I said, you do represent a district that is 67% Latinx. And I just want to get your take on what you've been seeing in terms of your district right now.
Mm-hmm. So in Chicagoland, Chicago and the suburbs, the Latino, Latina, Latinx communities have experienced the highest positivity rates than any other group, almost 3-1 when compared to whites in Illinois. Latino and Black Americans are dying at rates twice the rate of their white counterparts, and they're 3 times more likely to get sick. Latino Decisions did a survey of the impact of COVID and found that Latinos were displaced at much higher rates from their employment because of the closure of businesses, that they were more apt to lose hours when hours were reduced if they were lucky enough to remain in their jobs. They have some of the highest rates of uninsured realities to cope with, which keeps them, one, from, you know, getting tested, two, having the ability to quarantine themselves, even in their settings. And of course, the fear of, you know, going to a clinic, to a hospital to get assistance, is much more pronounced and only contributes to the spread of COVID. They're less likely to have access, of course, to healthcare and health insurance, and they're more likely to be exposed to air pollutants tied to higher COVID death rates as well. And then lastly, they're more likely to be in essential occupations as workers, thus risking their lives for the rest of the country, and less likely to have a job they can just do from home. So the disparities in our society as it relates to health and healthcare have been crushing for our community. People are struggling, to make ends meet, to pay rent. A lot of anxiety in the community. We have done many food distribution events throughout our district. We've worked with our nonprofit partners across the district as well to alleviate the suffering that COVID has brought on these communities. I just want to add that, as president, Joe Biden will work for health equity, not just healthcare. And he'll work across issues as he does to end systemic racism and learning about all of the disparities that the COVID crisis has brought to the fore. Things like making COVID testing, treatment, and any eventual vaccine free for everyone, exponentially ramping up testing and making sure it reaches every corner of the country, getting critical medical equipment and care to hospitals in every community, and of course, to end Trump's deadly lawsuit to overturn the Affordable Care Act and strip millions of health coverage, even during a deadly pandemic. And Brett, as someone who supported Bernie Sanders and someone who supports the Medicare for All legislation in Congress, I have to say, one of the things that the conversations between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders produced was a commitment from Joe Biden to lower the eligibility age for Medicare for All to 60 years. So these are the types of things that are becoming a reality and a part of the conversation that's ongoing between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders and Bernie Sanders supporters to address some of the issues that Bernie Sanders has championed: healthcare, affordable care, healthcare for all, student indebtedness, climate change, etc. Added reasons for everyone out there to get out and exercise their right to vote.
And I absolutely loved it when Joe Biden said, yeah, let's try to lower our Medicare eligibility age to 60, because it's such a quick way that we could potentially move to a Medicare for all system when you lower that age, because all of a sudden you take the people who are the least healthy among people who typically get private insurance, you put them on Medicare, who all of a sudden become the most healthy people on Medicare. It's a win-win. So once we figure out that's a success, well, then let's lower the Medicare age to 55. Then to 50, then to 45. I think that's a really quick way that we can move in that direction towards Medicare for all. So I've been talking about that for a while, and I think it's absolutely genius to, yeah, let's lower that Medicare age. It's a good first step that I think could rapidly get us in that right direction of Medicare for all.
These are small steps, but they're important. More people are learning the lessons of the pandemic. Health disparities are bad for our country. We are not a leader in this regard in the world. And I think that this is a part of that evolution and recognition that we've got to do something bolder. And that's why an engaged citizenry and voting, in this election is so important.
We've been speaking with Congressman Chuy Garcia. He is from the 4th District of Illinois in the U.S. House, taking some time to chat with us today, which I really, really appreciate. And Congressman Garcia, thanks again for joining us on the show today and talking about some big election issues coming up.
It's great. I look forward to conversations in the future, Brett. Keep up the good work.